as I have been doing for the last 2 weeks, and will continue to do through Lent, and maybe even up to Easter, I'd like to offer you an opportunity this morning to hear a first-person narrative, and would ask that you suspend your disbelief and let your imagination just come into this time as you listen to the words of the Samaritan woman. I chose the noon hour for the silence. Other village women come to the well in the morning, shoulder to shoulder, laughing too loudly as they draw the water. Their bracelets clink, their jars knock against the stone. They're not cruel, mostly, but when they see me, their voices turn soft and low, the way people speak near a grave. Five husbands, they say, and their eyes narrow in judgment, as if I collected them like trinkets. They do not count what I count. Five names I no longer speak aloud, because speaking them makes them real again, makes my throat tight. Five endings, some carried out on boards, the weight of a body under a cloth, the sour, sweet sting of burial spices clinging to my hands for days. Some signed away with ink, one hard stamp of a seal, a door shut with clean finality of paper. A mat rolled and taken, a bowl returned to someone else's shelf, my wrist suddenly empty of bracelets. After a while, you learn what a woman learns when men hold the power and the contracts. You can be righteous and still be sent away. You can be faithful and still be left standing in the doorway with your palms open. So I draw water when the sun is merciless. I would prefer the heat of the sun to the rash of their piety. By noon, the path to the well is baked hard. Dust rises with every step and settles into the sweat at the back of my knees. The air shimmers. The stones at the well rim are worn to the touch. I saw him before I reached it, a Jewish man sitting in the thin stripe of shade that the well threw, his clothes travel-stained, his face was turned up, eyes half-lidded against the glare. My first thought was to turn back, not from shame, from weariness. They want to make me a lesson. I had no appetite for whatever he had been taught to do with a Samaritan, or with a woman alone, or with a story he could twist into a warning. I kept walking anyway. Take a deep breath, eyes forward, back straight, the jar thumped my hip with each step. I have outlived too much to be undone by a stranger's judgment. The rope was rough under my fingers. I leaned over the rim and the well breathed up at me, cool and damp and refreshing. The faint mineral smell that makes your mouth water. My shoulders loosened despite myself. Then he spoke. Give me a drink. Not the words I expected. I froze with my hand on the rope. The silence around us rippled with expectation. A Jewish man does not ask a Samaritan woman for water. He does not put his thirst into her hands. He does not make himself need her. But he did. He didn't stand. He didn't swagger closer. He didn't look away as if speaking to me was a stain. He watched me with a curious look and empty, open hands. My voice came out sharper than I meant it to be. How is that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what it could cost me to answer you in daylight? He didn't pull back. He didn't pretend he hadn't heard the warning inside my question. He spoke of living water, of a spring that doesn't run out, of a thirst that doesn't return like hunger. I kept my face still, but inside me something was bristling. Too many times I have encountered men who like to offer things, men who like to turn giving into a kind of debt. So I answered him the way I have learned to survive, with my mind first. I asked questions. I prodded his words to find the loose edges. I listened for the hidden hook. The wind moved over the hillside and brought the smell of sun-baked weeds. A fly worried the rim of my jar. Somewhere far off, a goat bleated once and stopped. He kept talking, patient, unhurried, as if the heat didn't matter, as if I had time. And then, as if nothing at all, he stepped into the territory everyone else circles. Go, he said. Call your husband and come back. The rope bit into my palm. Husband? The word fell between us like a stone dropped in the well. I glanced down. No splash, just depth. This is where men's conversation changes. Their eyes go hard or hungry or worse, holy. This is where the discussion turns into a sneer, a sermon, or a stone. I lifted my chin and swallowed hard. I gave him no story, no explanation, no scraps to feed his curiosity. I have no husband. Just careful truth. He held my gaze, knowing the truth was not a confession, but a simple fact of the world, like heat, like thirst, like death. You're right, he said. You have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. I waited for the turn of the knife, but it didn't come. There was no relish in it, no disgust, no lecture crouching inside his words, just a strange, fierce clarity, as if he were naming aloud something he refused to use against me. As if he had read the story of my life and chose not to judge. He knew, and he did not use it to make me smaller. All the shame that had never been mine, everyone else's shame, laid on my shoulders for years, slipped into the space of a breath. What rose in its place was a combination of relief, grief, and anger. Something in me unclenched. To be seen and not devoured. Only a prophet could do that. Sir, I said, and my voice surprised me by how steady it was. I see that you are a prophet. He did not back away from my history the way others do. He didn't step aside as if it might rub off on him. He sat there in the noon heat and spoke to me as if God had room for someone like me. When I finally loosened my grip on the rope, the water jar tipped and spilled a little into the dust. A dark stain blossomed and vanished almost immediately, drunk by the earth. I left the jar where it lay. I ran back to the village because my feet suddenly remembered they were allowed to move. The path blurred, the sun hammered the crown of my head, and I didn't care. Come and see, I shouted before I'd even reached the first doorway. A man who told me everything about me, not my sins, my life, my endings, my survival. And he didn't look away. Thanks be to God. Amen.